Hi, this is Jeff Green for Payments.com. We are here today with Bill Mann, Senior Vice President of Strategy for New Business Innovation at CA Technologies, to discuss one of our favorite topics, mobile payments innovation. Welcome to the podcast, Bill.
Hey, Jeff, how you doing?
Doing well. So, Bill, from where you sit, what are you seeing more of or less of this year in mobile payments, and what are the implications?
Sure. You know, there's a lot of things happening in mobile payments and the whole payments ecosystem. It's a very dynamic space. If I think of what we're seeing more of, I think, you know, let's start with what happened with Target, you know, and the news about Target and the cards that were stolen and so forth. So that's really leading the market in a certain direction now. Not that the market was not going in that direction. I think it's just been a catalyst for some of the things that the market's been talking about. So there's much more focus on, you know, protecting account information, both at merchants and at the processors. You know, a lot of concerns about, obviously, about payment card security and so forth. And, you know, in some circles, when there were some debates about EMV adoption in the U.S., I think, you know, it's going to be a case that now it's going to move faster. And, you know, we've seen some initial deployments of EMV chips in the U.S. and, you know, the planning's moving forward to 2015. And the reason I say that is because, you know, in Europe, we've had EMV deployed for a long time, and it's really, you know, helped in terms of, you know, reducing fraud for card-present transactions. And for the U.S., because the U.S. is such a bigger market, it's been slower to adopt, and, you know, and there's been cost issues and so forth. But Target has, you know, the issue at Target has really brought to the forefront for everybody. The other big thing we're seeing in 2014 is cloud-based payments, you know, going to the cloud to do payments, you know, implementation of, you know, specifications. For instance, Visa issued a specification for HCE, you know, card contactless payments. So you're seeing the market moving in a direction of kind of endorsing, you know, mobile payments at point of sale terminals. And with the likes of Visa putting specifications out there, that's a big directional statement. Also, because of the issues around security, the market's talking about tokenization. Whereby not the real card information is stored, but a token for the card information is stored. And I mentioned HCE because HCE is the big thing that's happening. It's a replacement for the secure element. And the other thing we're seeing a lot is the different types of interfaces that are going to be used for payments. We typically talk about NFC, but, you know, QR codes a lot, and obviously Bluetooth low energy, there's pilots happening around there as well. So that's what I'm seeing a lot of in 2014. In terms of less of, I think the proprietary kind of branded wallets like, what Starbucks had, we're going to see less of, with the news of Square, talking about its profitability or lack of profitability, and it's discontinuing some of its offerings around wallets. I think you're going to see less of those, you know, capabilities. And I think, you know, that's just the way the market is evolving. I think there's a lot of pilots in the market, and not all pilots can be successful. I think the other big thing is, and I've kind of mentioned this, but it's an important point, which is the secure element, you know, which was big news in the mobile payment industry several years ago, but that's been replaced by HCE. So a lot of, you know, pullback from those kind of mechanisms. And any kind of mechanism that was using some sort of proprietary mechanism, people are tending to, you know, steer away from now, because I think the big lessons that we're learning is, you know, customer adoption has to be king. And any of these proprietary mechanisms really won't get enough traction in the market to make them viable as business alternatives to, you know, the simple card that we have today.
Okay. I'd like to kind of talk a little bit more about host card emulation or HCE. That pretty much moves the conversation about NFC and hardware securing cardholder data to the cloud, which you also mentioned earlier. But it also creates some interesting complications because for the first time, the control of payment security isn't entirely within the payments ecosystem. It's now also in the mobile operating system, making it a potential point of vulnerability. So in the event that the operating system is compromised, networks are relatively limited in what they can do to protect against the possibility of data compromise since they don't control it. So what are your thoughts on that issue, and is this a big enough risk to worry about?
I personally don't think it's a big risk, and mainly because there's a lot of aspects of the specifications around mobile payments which are based on the cloud that counter issues around vulnerabilities on the operating system and so forth. So let me kind of walk you through them, right? So first of all, I mean, the basic concept around HCE is cloud-based payments. In other words, you know, when you're making a payment, go to the cloud, get your, you know, a PAN or your account information and store it on the phone and to make the payment. But that's obviously not viable for every situation because it takes time to go to the cloud and get your credentials and so forth. So there is an element of storing your card information, what's called a PAN, you know, primary account number, on the phone itself. But the way it's stored is in a way that, you know, does kind of, you know, de-risk some of the issues around vulnerabilities that exist on the phone and so forth. So one I mentioned earlier on is tokenization. So actually the PAN is never actually stored on the mobile phone. It's actually a different number that's actually stored on the phone. And then there's mechanisms that are built into the specification that I mentioned earlier on from Visa, whereby that PAN, it can only be used, let's say, once, or there's other parameters that stop it from being used multiple times. There's counters in the algorithm that say, you know, this particular number can only be used 5 times, for instance, right? And then there's going to be a refreshing of that number. So there's time to live kind of parameters on there as well. So those are the kind of security, you know, mechanisms that are built into the specification that counter some rogue piece of code or application sitting on the mobile phone, maybe copying that data and so forth. But with all these things around security, it's a balancing act, right? One could make everything extremely secure, i.e. always go to the cloud and, you know, never store anything on the phone, but, you know, there would be a performance issue. Or you can make it really, really secure with the, you know, hardware secure elements, and we found that, you know, that mechanism had its own complexities in terms of the business models and so forth. In fact, that's a kind of a good lead-in, because we are also in this space ourselves, and we're offering a HCE-compliant wallet capability as well. And I kind of think about ours as a hybrid wallet, because, yes, we do go to the cloud, but we also do store information on the phone itself as well. And we've got patented technology, which we call cryptographic camouflage. I won't go into the details of what the technology does, but suffice to say, we can protect the important PAN information that was, you know, very well protected in the secure element, but we can protect that in software. And we can protect it in a certain way such that, you know, if an attacker actually steals your phone and tries to do a brute force attack, they're not going to be able to, you know, get a hold of the most important information. Now, that coupled with tokenization and what we call risk-based authentication that we also do, and fraud prevention, which we also do as well, all coupled together to provide a very secure environment. I think one of the things that should be understood is, a combination of different technologies makes up a complete solution. So it's just not one thing that makes up the complete solution. So for instance, in our case, we are leveraging the cloud. We are leveraging this thing called cryptographic camouflage. But in addition to that, we're using, you know, information from the operating system, like, you know, its location, where we're looking at information about what this consumer purchased, let's say, yesterday. We're looking at, you know, what are the buying habits of that consumer? Do they always shop at the same Starbucks in the same zip code, et cetera, to really build the profile so we can really tighten the security down. So if there's an issue where the phone is stolen, that way you can mitigate the risk. So that's really the way we kind of think about it. So, so I think, you know, this is a way ahead in the market, I think, right? Because it's software centric and it provides a lot of, you know, options for the market. Now we ourselves, we are providing this technology, but we're not going to be offering a wallet per se. We're going to offer a platform for banks to offer their wallets. So it's going to be a white labeled offering. So the banks can then incorporate this into, you know, their own online banking application and so forth. So, you know, they could add and remove different types of other mechanisms for security as well as they wish to do so.
Bill, you run run strategy for digital payments at CA Technologies. What are some of the big issues that your clients are talking to you about, and how are you responding?
I think, you know, the big issues kind of can be kind of summed down to two big areas. One is everything around security, and then everything around consumer adoption and acceptance by the consumer. Those are the two things that everybody talks about. They don't talk about it that way. They talk about how do we reduce the risk? How do we increase security? How do we, you know, manage devices and so forth, right? And on the consumer side, they talk about, you know, how is this thing going to be accepted at point of sale? You know, what's going to be the online experience for consumers? How do they, you know, provision a wallet? What happens if they lose the phone, et cetera? And but those are the two big issues that clients are concerned about. I suppose the third one, you know, because those two are very, you know, well defined in terms of technology related. The third one is actually the business side, which is how are we going to make money out of this? What's going to be the repercussions of having cards on phones on the profitability in the card industry? Because obviously, you know, the card industry is a well-defined ecosystem. There's fees that are transferred from merchants to issuing banks, et cetera, and the brands and so forth. And what happens when, you know, mobile comes along and, you know, changes the game here. So in terms of how we're responding, you know, on the first two, you know, we're working very closely with, you know, major, you know, payment company, major issuing companies, and, you know, building out our own, you know, solution, which is going to be compliant to the specifications defined by the brands. We're using, you know, our encryption technology, you know, like I mentioned before, to build the security, to counter the security concern. And it's not just the security, it's the fraud and the data insight that we have as well to counter the first issue. On the consumer side, we're essentially providing a platform to the banks and letting the banks kind of define the user interface themselves so they can really put their focus into how the thing's going to look like and so forth, which, you know, which banks actually have a lot of experience in because they've been dealing with this on a regular basis. You know, they've already built out their mobile, you know, apps. So they've got familiarity with that, right? And, you know, when we think about that, we're trying to give them a lot of flexibility. So, you know, from my point of view, you know, I one bank's wallet may be very, very different from another bank's wallet. And I use the word wallet. It's just an app in the end because I fundamentally believe that the phone is a wallet, right? And how one consumer organizes their phone is going to be very different from another one, right? So I think flexibility is kind of key there. On the business side, I think what we're doing is we're actually taking away some of the risks for the issuing banks by providing a platform and a cloud service, so they can focus much more on the pricing and the changes that are necessary from a business perspective, because there will be changes that will be necessary in the future if we if we assume that, you know, mobile payments are going to be really big in the next couple of years, it's going to really redefine the profitability models of this whole industry. So that's, you know, and we're providing them enough, you know, flexibility so that they can do that. One of the other things I kind of forgot to mention is that one of the other big issues is just uncertainty. You know, a lot of banks are saying, you know, where's the market going to go? You know, is it going to be NFC? Is it going to be Bluetooth? What's Apple going to do? You know, there's just a lot of uncertainty. And I think, you know, what we tell our clients is there's always going to be uncertainty in the market. And there's always going to be new technologies that comes around the corner. And we've seen that with every other paradigm in any other part of technology. So we shouldn't be surprised that it's going to happen here as well. But what we're doing here is we're building something which is open and such that we can support different types of technology. So, you know, yes, we're working on NFC today, but we will make our solution work with Bluetooth low energy and QR codes and so forth, right? We just view those as communication mechanisms. So I think, and that's really an important message that banks want to hear in terms of a strategic partner. They want to choose somebody that is going to give them flexibility and future flexibility as well, because nobody really knows what's going to happen in this space. We can only kind of predict for the next couple of months, but we really can't predict for the next 12 to 18 months.
Right. Yeah, flexibility is very important. You know, you're right. What direction it goes is anyone's guess at this point, but
right.
You know, being able to stay on top of that is going to be very important for financial institutions. So. Well, thanks, Bill. It's been great chatting with you, and we wish you and CA Technologies luck as you work through these issues with industry players. Look forward to talking to you again soon.
Yes, thank you very much. It's definitely a fun space, a lot of exciting things happening in this space. Thank you.